You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there, it's Tom Haberstroh of Metalark Media. I'm popping in here to present a little mea culpa. The NBA Finals are upon us, and Chris Paul is finally in the championship round for the first time in his career. Now, full disclosure, I attended Wake Forest University with Chris Paul back in 2005, so I understandably have been accused of being some sort of CP3 apologist throughout my journalism career. But that is not my mea culpa. I'm going to come clean here and tell you that Stugatz' loud arguments against Chris Paul have been utterly persuasive. Look at CP's finals road paved with gold. The guy faced the Los Angeles Lakers without Anthony Davis, the Denver Nuggets without Jamal Murray, and the Los Angeles Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, and now he may play the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals without Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, come on, the luckiest star ever, right? So thanks to Stugatz' rhetorical haymakers, I am convinced now more than ever that the point god should be known henceforth as the point fraud. I know, quite the turn of events. I did not see this coming. Now, before the finals, I asked Metalark Media CEO John Skipper to provide me with an intern to help me cover this crazy, unpredictable finals, and Skipper delivered. I've never met this intern, but his name is, let me pull up this email here, Gustatz. Wait, I asked Gustatz a couple days ago to give me some notes on why Chris Paul has been the most overrated NBA star player ever. And to be honest, I had a long 4th of July weekend, lots of beer and fireworks. My brain is super foggy. My head feels like a dozen Roman candles are constantly going off and rattling my skull. So I'm relying on these notes from Gustatz more than I'd normally do and more than I'm actually comfortable with. Chris Paul, 10-time All-NBA, 11-time All-Star, 5th all-time in assists, and 5th all-time in steals. Top 10 in NBA history in PER, win shares per 48, but he has never made the NBA Finals. Have you ever asked yourself why? Really went through and researched the true Chris Paul story? Well, I am here for you. Let's work backwards here, shall we? 2020, Chris Paul is traded to the Phoenix Suns, a franchise that has never won a title and had missed the playoffs for 10 straight seasons before he got there. Then they go on to win the second seed out west in the first round of the playoffs. CP faces LeBron James, a guy who has never lost a first round series. Chris Paul and the Suns prevail to be met by the league MVP, Nikola Jokic. Chris Paul and the Suns sweep them. Next up, Chris Paul catches COVID and needs to miss 2 games and work his way back into a series against his former team, the Clippers. And then co-star Devin Booker breaks his nose in game 2 and can't see straight. That's right. And Chris Paul and the Suns overcome that. Goo, this doesn't seem like a Chris Paul expose. This seems like the opposite. We're off to a bad start. Next up, 2020. Before the season, Chris Paul is traded to the OKC Thunder, who are in full teardown mode, and CP is asked to do the impossible task of filling Russell Westbrook's shoes. Instead of tanking, Chris Paul and the Thunder make the playoffs and meet James Harden without their James Harden stopper, Lou Dort, who misses game 1 due to a knee injury. And OKC loses that Dortless game, and they go on to lose in game 7 by a whopping 2 points. Okay, Goo, that actually makes Chris Paul look amazing, not the other way around. Let's just keep going. Chris Paul, Houston Rockets era. Totally embarrassing. On July 16, 2017, Chris Paul is traded to the Rockets to team up with James Harden and try to beat the Golden State Warriors, a super team with Kevin Durant that just bulldozed its way to a title in 2017. But with Chris Paul, the CP-led Rockets win a franchise record 65 games in the regular season, blaze through the playoffs until they meet the Warriors. The Rockets go up 3-2 in the series, and then Chris Paul, oh no. Oh, I forgot about this. Oh, right. Chris Paul tears his right hamstring with 50 seconds left in game 5. He misses game 6 and game 7. They lose both games. And apparently, the Rockets missed 17 consecutive 3-pointers at one point without Chris Paul out there. They lose the series in 7. Goo, how is that doing anything but shining Chris Paul's legacy? Clearly, they would have won if Paul's muscle fibers didn't tear into pieces. All right, year two with the Rockets, Chris Paul faces KD's Warriors again and take them to six games, losing all four games by 6 points or fewer. Jeez, seems like it could have gone either way there, and it's not Chris Paul's fault. In two seasons with Chris Paul, the Houston Rockets won more games than anybody in the NBA, including the Warriors. Do I have that right? Goo, what the hell, man? This is not what I paid you. Dogecoin. Paid you so much Dogecoin, and here's how you repay me. All right, Chris Paul's Clippers era. Yes, this is where the fraud stuff floats to the surface. Cannot wait. 2017 postseason, first round, Clippers leading scorer Blake Griffin suffers season-ending foot injury in game three. Jazz go on to win three of the... You know what? How is that Chris Paul's fault? I'm sensing a trend here, and it's not the one that we agreed upon, Goo. 2016 postseason, first round, up 2-1 against Portland. Chris Paul suffers season-ending broken hand! In his absence, a few minutes later in Game 4, Blake Griffin suffers quad injury and sidelines him for the rest of the series! Come on, man! I have another note here. Earlier that season, Blake Griffin missed 47 games with a quad injury and a broken hand after punching... Oh, I totally forgot about this. Punching assistant equipment manager Matthias Testi. Good Lord, Goo. For crying in the sink, how is this Chris Paul's fault? All right, 2015 postseason with the Clippers. First round, Chris Paul suffers hamstring injury in Game 7 against San Antonio. Okay. And he comes back and guts it out for the rest of the game. Clippers win. He misses Games 1 and 2 versus Houston in conference semifinals. Clippers split the two games and then won two straight games with Chris Paul back. Houston turns around and wins series, but it could have been a sweep if Chris Paul were healthy. That's a good point. All right, 2014 Clippers. All right, this is where everything is just all Chris Paul's fault, right? Okay. After winning a franchise record 57 games in the regular season. All right, this isn't going well. A bombshell in the first round against the Warriors, led by Stephen Curry. Oh, no. Oh, no. Donald Sterling on TMZ is recorded saying racist comments to his former mistress, V. Stiviano. Doc Rivers later said, going through that, quote, it was hell. Oh. Clippers won that series. That's right. Oh, no. Clippers beat Stephen Curry and the Warriors in Game 7 just days after owner Donald Sterling was banned for life, with Chris Paul logging 22 points and 14 assists in Game 7. The Clippers move on to play OKC. Wow. It'd be understandable if they just packed the ball and went home after all of that stuff with Donald Sterling, but no, they kept on playing and they went on to play OKC. They didn't win that series, but playing in general through one of the worst controversies in NBA history, I gotta give them some credit here. That's amazing. 2013 Clippers. First round series against Memphis. Series tied 2-2. Blake Griffin hurts his ankle at practice! At practice! Ahead of Game 5, he aggravates his ankle injury in Game 5 and then plays only Game 6. He came off the bench and they lost that one. And in a pivotal Game 5, Chris Paul scored 35 points. I'm losing my mind here. In that game, the next highest score in the starting lineup was DeAndre Jordan. Six! 6 points! And we're supposed to blame Chris Paul for that? Goo? Players are hurting themselves in practice now. First year with the Clippers, 2011-2012. They were swept. That's right. Play grueling. Oh, yeah. They played Memphis, grit and grind, 7-game series on the road with a Game 4 overtime tossed in there for good measure. They win this series, and congratulations, here's your reward. Play a rested Spurs team that swept its first-round opponent and had a week off before playing Chris Paul. Yeah, that doesn't seem fair at all. Yeah, they lost that series. Okay. On December 8th, 2011... Yeah, wait, how did he get to the Clippers? David Stern vetoed three-team... David Stern vetoed three-team trade that would have sent Chris Paul to the Lakers to team up with Kobe Bryant, and instead, Stern trades him to the Clippers, the team formerly owned by a lawyer named Donald Sterling, who used to heckle his own players from courtside seats. And from his ownership, from 1981 through 2014, the Clippers achieved the worst winning percentage in all four American sports leagues. And then... the V. Stiviano tape happen. Goo, this is not helping my case. This makes me actually feel deeply bad for Chris Paul. Like, how is this man dealt with all of these cards and still able to play at a high level, some of the highest level basketball we've ever seen? All right, next up, New Orleans era. In 2005, Chris Paul fell to fourth in the draft, landing with the New Orleans Hornets. And 2 months later, Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans, the costliest natural disaster in U.S. history.
What?
Dude, this guy, think about his NBA career. What do you do at that point? Well, he picks up and moves with the team to Oklahoma City and, yep, suffers under all that pressure. He just collapsed and he had a horrible... he won Rookie of the Year, like running away, one of the most unanimous Rookie of the Year votes ever. In his third season with the team, Chris Paul places second in MVP, even though he bested the actual winner, Kobe Bryant, in every available advanced metric as a 22-year-old. In his first postseason, he wins a first-round matchup against the Dallas Mavericks in 5 games and then loses in 7 games to the defending champion San Antonio Spurs. Next season, Hornets were marred by injuries to Peja Stojakovic and Tyson Chandler, missing a combined 58 games that season. Chandler was literally too injured to be traded. An agreed-upon OKC trade was nullified due to a previously undiscovered case of turf toe. The Hornets were never the same after that. And then the Clippers trade happens. New Orleans is still looking for their first 50-win season since Paul's 08 season in which they won a franchise record 56 games. So what you're telling me here, Goo, if I have this right, Chris Paul was an integral part in the New Orleans franchise record season, the LA Clippers franchise record season, and the Houston Rockets franchise record season. And now he's on the verge of winning a title with a franchise that has never won one? That's insane! So on top of the long list of horribly unfortunate injuries to himself and teammates throughout his career, this guy dealt with Hurricane Katrina, Donald Sterling, and going into COVID protocols in the middle of the playoffs, and he's still standing atop the league at 36 years old. Like, how is this guy not being heralded as one of the most resilient players in sports history? Like, it seems like to me, Chris Paul's good fortune this postseason, if you can even call it that, is a drop in the bucket compared to all the unfortunate stuff he's dealt with throughout his career. So, Goo, you've done a terrible job backing me up. This is not what we agreed on. So stop being a coward and identify your... Oh, it's you. I knew it. Hey, Cliff Paul, thanks for the assist. You're fired.